Hey everyone, Stacy Bresler here at Archer Energy Solutions, and I am happy to be here with my partner, Stephen Parker, where we're going to just talk a little bit about this in the Direct Connect episode number. I have no idea. It's a large number. They're getting bigger and bigger all the time. Several numbers. We're in the three digits, so we're moving towards that four digits, and someday maybe we'll hit that. But yeah, today, you know, the format's just to kind of talk about whatever's on our mind, what's going on in the industry. The last episode, we talked a lot about the data centers and how that's having impact on, communities, and those large loads are becoming a factor overall. But, you know, another thing, Steve, that I noticed that happens to be top of mind is this rate of change, and maybe we call it unmanageable rate, I don't know, of change in critical infrastructure, you know, from, you know, things like massive regulatory acceleration. We're seeing all kinds, like the CMEP is shifted. We're seeing the TSA pipeline directive is about to become a real order. EPA, we got those water expectations in cybersecurity, and then some new cyber incident reporting laws are happening, and that it just frameworks and cybersecurity and things happening. And it's just, it seems to be pretty massive. I don't know what you're seeing out there.
It's crazy. You know, I think my brain is either full or empty. I'm not quite sure which is numb might be the word. Cause there's so much happening. And, you know, I was thinking when you mentioned, you know, Direct Connect around, you know, in the three digit episodes, you know what else has three digits? The SIP standards. We got a little ways to go. Yeah, they're still at, you know, 0.15, but I look at that and I'm like, who was thinking they'd ever get to, you know, SIP 999?
But I don't even know what that would be.
there's so much going on, and you know, I think recently, you know, there's in this format we've had discussions on large loads and things of that nature, but I think just focusing just on New York SIP for a moment, the amount of activity that's going on there. The virtualization standards, we've talked about those in detail in a previous episode, but those are probably not too far from being approved. You got the comment period closing coming up in, I think, a week or two. So Q1 next year, we'll probably get those approved. And there's some sneaky things in there that are going to create some churn. We've got the IBRD ERs, going on. Low impact stuff that's happening. SIP 12 updates coming. We got work being done on updates to SIP 8, SIP 15. The cloud stuff under SIP 16 is coming. So just in the NERC SIP world alone, there's enough to keep anybody busy. And then you throw out some of the other things. Stuff's coming on the distribution side of the grid, you know, water and oil, natural gas. So there's a lot happening. I think it's difficult to keep up. Yeah, I said my brain's a little bit numb. I'm trying to stay on top of things, but it's tough right now. It's exciting times and challenging times at the same.
I can't even imagine being a compliance officer or responsible for NERC and FERC regulations at this time. It's got to be mind-boggling, and either that or you have to be an ostrich and put your head in the ground, not thinking that these things are going to have a significant impact. And I have seen some ostriches. I don't think they're intentional, but, you know, I think people are underestimating the impact of just adding Section 6 into SIP 3-9, you know, R2 Attachment 1. That alone has to, you're going to have to update the plan at a minimum, right? But there's also the policies that are associated with that change. And anytime you start writing something, that's going to take a hit, right? But on top of that, we have to start thinking about SIP 15. You got to think about all the O&P changes that are happening out there. In addition to that, we're trying to expand the grid, right, to take on the loads that we need to take. I mean, we're seeing the IBRs. You know, we got the GOD IBR categorization that's happening right now. We got microgrids. We got AMI expansion. We got real-time data dependencies that are just fundamentally changing grid behavior and operational risk. It's huge. Not just the compliance part of it, though, but just balancing the growth and the operations and this compliance element on top of it it's got to be unwieldy, and it's difficult. It's actually, to me, a point of contention where you really have to get a hold of your compliance programs. You've got to really get a hold of your overall risk management. And by doing risk management and prioritizing properly, you might be able to get a handle on this pretty well. But it takes work.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm glad you mentioned the OOP side of the house. You know, I know water floats came up in the previous episode, which is a concern. A lot of that's over the O&P side of the standards and modeling and other preparation areas in there. IBRSD, as you mentioned, largely on the O&P side. You know, it's interesting if you look at the reliability risks that NERC focuses on. They do this annual report where they publish those. That feeds into the CMAP. Being a NERC SIP specialist, I've always been, kind of excited because security vulnerabilities are always very high on that list. They've actually been dropping down a little bit, which is remarkable because I don't think security risk is decreasing. I think it's increasing.
Absolutely.
It's just that the other risks are increasing so quickly with the, was the changing resource mix. Resource adequacy is a huge issue right now with the large loads. And just the overall demand increasing due to in large part due to the large loads.
Well, so you mentioned the threat.
I'm getting tired.
Yeah.
just talking about it, right?
Yep, absolutely. You mentioned, the threat actors, the vulnerabilities. I think the adversary capability is increasing. And I think with that comes maybe not more vulnerabilities being discovered, but definitely penetration, actually putting more threats and risks into the organizations is happening because of these capabilities that the adversaries are getting. I mean, they are not necessarily announcing anymore. And we can go back, a year and a half, talk about the water PLC issue where we've found a whole bunch of Chinese bots embedded. I think that adversary right there is increasing, and that brings a lot of concerns. For any cybersecurity team thinking about how do we protect our assets and how do we explain this, to executives about what those risks are. And that's not I can keep on going, Steve. The technology that's turning over too. I mean, we have a huge amount of cloud migration being pushed upon us by vendors, which, makes business sense sometimes from a financial perspective, but not necessarily the right thing to do. But that's coming. We can't stop it. Cat's out of the bag. We got all kinds of new OT monitoring tools coming out. AI assisted analytics are happening. You talk about different areas, but then that leads to skilled staff, which I think is one of your specialties. Is that workforce, that skill set? I don't see it being able to compete and keep up.
It's tough. I've been doing security for 30 years. I think I know less today than I did when I started. Just because the field is expanding so greatly, it's very hard to keep up on that and everything. In terms of the attack surface, yeah, you're right. The grid is changing, and everywhere that it's changing, we're adding technology. We're adding to the attack surface area. Attackers are becoming more sophisticated. AI is helping them to be more efficient and effective at their attacks, and to do them more quickly. So it's a real challenge.
It is. It changes your risk model. It changes their priorities. It forces us to think differently. And being able to deal with these compressed timelines. I we talked about a lot of this, 30 years ago, Steve. We talked about the Internet of Things, and all the more connectivity we got, the bigger we made that landscape, the harder it was going to be to manage. And here we are. I'm seeing this again. We talked about the perfect storm years ago about compliance coming into bear, but now I'm seeing perfect storms relative to just general security and reliability risks. I talked about, the compressed planning horizons. We're seeing those 5-year modernization cycles now at 12 to 18 month cycles. And I don't see that pausing anytime soon. So that's the other side of the business, right? It's just overwhelming to me.
Yeah, yeah. I'll try to put a little bit of a positive spin on this. I am very encouraged by what I've seen with the level of maturity, especially in some of the smaller utilities that traditionally have not had a lot of resources. They're getting resources. We're seeing that now. Large organizations are getting very mature, and they have a lot of great tool sets out there. The problem is that the risks and the attacks and the threats are escalating, I think, perhaps even faster. So there's a lot of great work being done. Is it enough? I don't know. It's a big challenge. On the workforce side of things, as I said, you can have, you know, myself, 30 years experience. That's great. But constantly having to keep up on things, right? I'm constantly learning, constantly discovering, constantly going out there having to research things because the pace of change is so fast. You have to try to stay ahead and stay on top of the curve. And nobody can do it all. And nobody can be an expert in everything. And that's one of the things I love about being part of Archer is we have that great diversity of backgrounds and skill sets. And if there's something that I am not super familiar with, I've got somebody I can reach out to and say, hey, you know, help me out here. And you, what do you know about this particular topic? So I think everyone needs to do that, right? Nobody can be an expert on everything anymore. You have to have your network of experts, people you trust that you can reach out to, whether it's a coworker or whether it's an advisory firm like Archer. You got to have that.
You got to have that foundation of good, generally good, accepted, whatever that term is. What is that? Generally good, acceptable cybersecurity
practice.
You have to have the base, though, right? You have to understand that, and I think that goes a long ways for most cybersecurity experts that have been in the game for a while. But just knowing that, you know, things change a lot, and so you know, being patient with yourself, being patient with your coworkers, be patient with your vendors, I think is going to go a long way, because as new things pop up, we're all learning at the same time. You know, what are the right priorities? And that's why I always go back to security risk management, because it's the same principle that we've been using forever to measure our, you know, what priorities, what risks we need to manage. But the questions change, and we have to adapt to that change and ask the different questions, you know. And, you know, the implementation of the proper controls is going to take some additional thought sometimes. It's going to take asking others for their opinions that are outside of your general comfort. I remember, you know, when we used to work back at Pacific Corp, we pretty much did know everything related to cybersecurity at the time of what was relevant. And that relevancy has changed because what we said was going to happen. Technology, the need for more electricity, the growth, even in other critical infrastructures, there's growth as well happening. It's just that need, that pace that you got. And how do you keep pace with the pace? I keep on asking that. And that's where we're at right now, I think, is a little bit overwhelming. And, you know, you and I are getting a little older. You mentioned you dated us. You said 30 years. So it's been 30 years plus. And we're going to be looking for, you know, a sunset at some point, and who's coming in behind us. And that's where I think, you know, investments in technology is one thing, but investments in people is another. And I think that's a huge part of the solutioning here is get more people interested in coming into our sector and getting excited about what they can achieve and help, you know, build resilience in what makes the world go around.
Yeah, well, of course, I mentioned 30 years. I did start in the industry when I was 6 years old, so I've got a little run to my left. But obviously, I'm kidding on that. But no, it's been quite a ride. I think I do have a lot of runway left. I'm going to be around for a while, I hope. But you're right; we need to be focused on bringing up the next generation. And you know, I'm seeing that. Maybe it's just because I'm getting older, I see a lot more people that are younger than I am now, and I am encouraged as I look to the next generation. I think as the industry turns over, bringing a lot of fresh minds, fresh energy, and there's some knowledge transfer handoff that needs to be done, obviously, but the new fresh perspectives I think are helping and are refreshing. So kind of that combination of bring in the new, but don't completely throw out the old, kind of take the best of both and move forward as an industry.
Well, if you're still listening to this point, and two old guys talking about the old times and all these things, and just kind of ranting. If you're still listening, then you're probably one of them that need to be, you know, engaged. And, you know, good for you. You know, we really need that. And I think our roles change, Steve, as we continue to, you know, yeah, like you said, we're not leaving tomorrow, but our roles kind of shift into to storytellers and helpers, and remind people that there is a lot of work that happened over the last, you know, 20 years that have established good practices, good frameworks, good opportunities for good security that was built. And now it's time to take that foundation, that second tier, and move it up to the third and fourth tier. You know, mission continuity, continue.
Absolutely. Totally agree.
Well, I think that kind of calls it for the day. You know, these are supposed to be just a 10, 15 minute little discussions. And we're going to continue doing these, try to do a couple a month, and if not more. And hope you guys are all listening. Thanks for joining us at Direct Connect. We'll see you next time.
Not only is Direct Connect available to listen to, you can also watch each episode on our YouTube channel. Just go to youtube.com/@ArcherU. If you're interested in who we are and what we do, you can head on over to our website at archerint.com. You can also follow us on our social media platforms, Archer International on Facebook and Archer Energy Solutions LLC on LinkedIn. Thanks for listening, and check back every other week for brand new episodes of Direct Connect.